Halloween half term. I'm not sure. There's a bit of confusion this year that there's some schools off this week, there's some schools that have just been off. I think a few parents are probably tortured. But what is the whole Halloween thing? The whole darkness and light thing that's going on? Why are the villains always dressed in black? Even in the Disney movies. Do you remember kind of back a few generations, cowboy movies? The baddies always wore a black hat, and the goodies always wore a white hat just to make sure you knew. And today it's maybe a wee bit more blurred than that, but that's very often the way we are. Lord of the Rings, the Nazgul, or the Ringwraiths, wearing in black horses, black cloaks, chasing Princess Arwen, just in case you weren't sure, she's a goodie. She's on a white horse. Yeah? And we see this in lots and lots and lots of different programs. The man in black, Johnny Cash, says this: "Sometimes I am two people. Johnny is the nice one. Cash causes all the trouble. They fight." Now I want you to stop for a moment. And the passage that Christine read for us, this is what it talks about. If you say that you've no sin, you deceive yourselves, but you want to live in the light. And there's just constantly this tension or this conflict. In the Asian culture, we have the yin and the yang, the two parts of the same being that wrestle against each other. And it's messy. St. Augustine, let's take it somewhere a wee bit more holy. St. Augustine interestingly said, "O Lord, give me chastity, but do not give it to me yet." And actually, Robbie Williams picked that up in a song called Pure and said, "O Lord, make me pure, but not just yet, because actually the bad stuff's good fun." And this is the human reality. And this is exactly what John talks about in 1 John here. This conflict and this tension. And it's the human tension. It's been the wrestle since the Garden of Eden. And as we meet around the table this morning, it's the tension that we probably feel sitting here in the pew. But in the middle of the passage that was read for us is this beautiful verse. J.B. Phillips puts it like this: "But if we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable and straightforward. He forgives our sins and makes us thoroughly clean from all that is evil. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." It's a verse that every Christian should have emblazoned in their memory and in their heart. Let's unpack it. Talks about confession. If we confess our sins, and as we remember the Lord's death this morning, this is what we're doing. This is why we're here. But there can be two reactions. Self-confidence. I am too good, and there's no sin. I wouldn't imagine that's where we're at. But if we claim to be without sin, says John, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if we pretend that we don't sin, then we're living in deception. And one of the things is certainly for the last 15 years up in the North Coast, working with young people for the 10 years in First Coleraine, young people talked about this last week in Castle Wellan, young people who are high achievers, adults who are high achievers, we find it, well, not we, because I can't say I'm a high achiever, but struggle to admit that there's something that you can't do. And when it comes to confession, you're saying, there's something I can't do. I cannot be this good. And part of confession is acknowledgement of our own imperfections. Self-confidence. Maybe that's not your reaction. Maybe, and I hear it so often, Gordy, I don't go to communion because, you know, I'm too bad. And, you know, God couldn't forgive me. And maybe actually that's something you wrestle with. It's actually understanding and getting a grip on God's grace. Peter, on the beach, in almost one of his first exchanges with Jesus, falls to his face and says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." But as we know the story of Peter, that grew into a wonderful relationship, and this confession on the beach was the start of a journey of faith and growth. But if you're saying, "Go away from me, Lord, because I'm not good enough," maybe you're not there. Maybe you're not there. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has said, in confession occurs the breakthrough to the cross, because in confession of sin, you're saying, I am not good enough, and it's only the cross of Christ that can take me there. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. So as we gather this morning in confession, it's not self-confidence saying, I don't really need this. It's not self-loathing or self-condemnation saying, I'm too bad. It's coming to the cross, to the body and blood of Jesus, and kneeling there in confession and in repentance. One of the commentators that I looked at thinking about this morning said, a true confession of sin asks for and anticipates forgiveness. Do you get that? A true confession of sin asks for and anticipates forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. We fall on, we rest on the character of God. I love the way the New Revised Standard Version puts this. We can rely on him in his righteousness. We can rely on him in his righteousness. So when we come saying, Lord, I am not good enough. I have sinned. I have hurt you. My sin separates me from you. And we fall on God's character in confession. And he does what he does because of who he is. He is a God who is faithful. Look at 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message that we have heard and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness. In him there is no darkness. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful towards all he has made. This is the God that we fall on this morning, that we rest in his faithfulness and his goodness. It's a great hymn. We think, great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning in thee. Faithful and just. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sin of the whole world. He is just, he is truthful, and it's in him, the perfect sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, that we find life. Read with me, please, if you can, because this is a fantastic passage in Romans. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. I'll give you a wee moment to find it, because this is worth reading together. Romans 3, 22 to 26. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in the blood, in his blood, sorry. He did this to demonstrate his justice. There it is, just. Because in his forbearance he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this, he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So in this beautiful passage, we're reminded that God, Jesus in his death on the cross, is enacting his justice. I've maybe told the story before about the two friends who went through school together. And as they moved on and got older, their career paths separated. And one went into the legal system and eventually became a judge. The other, things didn't go quite so well and eventually fell into petty crime. And as life rolled on, he ended up one day in the court, actually standing in front of his friend. And the judge had to put the case to rest and had to actually fine the man financially or a jail term for what he had done wrong. And as he stood before him, the man could not pay the fine. But the judge issued the fine or the sentence. The chap could not pay it, so he was going to have to go to jail. But the judge stepped from his chair, took off his wig, took off his robe, came down to the front of the courthouse, took out his checkbook, and paid the price to release his friend from the punishment that was due to him. In a very simple way, that is what the Lord Jesus has done for us on the cross. We could not pay the fine, we could not take the punishment, but he took our punishment for us. He is faithful and he is just. He is trustworthy, he is truthful. God made him who had no sin to be sin or become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Again, as we come to the table this morning, we rest on the character of he who is just and faithful. And we come for cleansing. To forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, confession, he is faithful and just, his character, to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Three things very quickly. The means of cleansing is the blood of Christ. Again, look at 1 John and look at verse 7, please. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. The blood of Christ shed on the cross is the means of our cleansing. 1 Peter 2 and 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. The blood of Christ is the means of our cleansing. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, writes the writer to Hebrews. So the means of cleansing is the blood of Christ. The method of cleansing we've already thought about is confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The measure of this cleansing is comprehensive, from all unrighteousness. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. So there's no sin that is too far reaching for you or I to say God could not forgive me, to say that I am too bad. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. This is the offer that we have in Christ. This is the offer that sits before us at the table this morning, the body and blood of Jesus as we remember his death. Just as we finish, this conflict that we read in the passage, this sense of the good and the bad wrestling with each other, look at those verses. If we claim we have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. Okay, so we need to be good. But if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. Okay, which is it? I don't understand this. There is this tension, there is this wrestle that is there in our lives. There is this conflict that is there, I believe, until we go to glory. And we live between the now and the not yet. And it's a wrestle, and it's a tension. But it's the table that we sit around this morning that is the answer in this, because we come to confess, to remember that we are not perfect, but that he is and was. And his blood purifies us. So if we confess our sins, the one who invites us to the table is faithful and just to forgive our sin. And there is cleansing that is there to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So each one of us this morning live in this place of conflict, desiring to be holy, but knowing that there's this struggle with sin. But we're invited this morning and reminded this morning that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness.